Hello, gorgeous.
It is Lala Mother Effin Kent. We're back, baby. I got Audrina Patridge on the podcast today. You guys gave me all the feedback in the world last episode because Jess and I were like, what do you want to see on the podcast? Like, what do you want to listen to? And my little give them Lala squad, they came through.
They did. You guys did come through. We got so much feedback and I'm so excited to sit down with Lala and go through it all. And maybe we'll do it on the podcast even. I don't know.
I would love to, like, after this episode, next week's episode, let's go through, like, all
of them.
Yeah. Like, let's talk about it.
Yeah. So you guys even have another, let's say, 5 days to be safe. If you didn't give feedback, you might as well, because we're going to go through as much of it as we can, right? On next.
Yeah.
And so what I've been seeing the most is DM, give them Lala podcast, and that's how we're going to go through it.
Well, the whole point of, like, the rebrand of the podcast was, like, I want my listeners to be heard. Like, it's a platform where, you know, let's be open and honest and, like, create this little community of, you know, people who are going through the ups and downs of life. And I think that, you know, my guests also have to reflect that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, of course. Absolutely.
You know, I originally came into this podcast from the jump of, like, what's the format? There is no format.
Right.
We're just going to be bumping gums and, like, have great guests on. But, you know, I want to know what my listeners dig. You know, it's the whole reason, like I said in the episode with my brother, without my listeners, without my friends, my people, I'm just freaking talking to myself in a microphone, wasting a whole lot of time. Like, it's got to be productive. I, like, things that are not productive in my life, they got to go.
Yeah.
I'm listening to Chris Medina in the sense where he's like, you got to burn bridges in your life.
Yeah.
Whatever that means. And now if it's like, it's not productive, it's not serving me, you're bringing out a side of me that I don't like. Granted, my mom always says, like, you're in charge of your own emotions. People can't make you feel a certain way, but you can allow them to make you feel a certain way. It's like, you know what? No, you're making me feel this way and I don't need it.
Right.
So give me the gasoline and a match because I'm torching the bridge.
Right. People always told me, you are who you hang around. And I agree with it 50% and I disagree. But I did notice when I would hang around friends who were always complaining, always talking shit, always bitching, I felt myself starting to do that and get in a very, very negative space. And then my friends who were, like, positive and whatever, on the up and up and always, like, going after what they wanted and their goals, I felt myself being more that way. So I don't know if I agree with it necessarily, because my childhood best friend, she's, like, my ride or die and we're completely different. But still, like, I'm like, we're different, but I'm like, so I don't agree with it in that sense. I'm not like her. She's not like me, but we're still best friends.
Totally.
Yeah. But I do think in some certain circumstances it happens. Like, do you hang out with people that bring you down and or are negative, and then you feel like you get negative, or no? You're like, I can be around that person and I'm myself.
No, there are definitely people I've been around where I leave and I go home and I'm like, I feel so heavy. Where's my giant bundle of sage?
Right.
Like, but as I've gotten older, I have pulled away from people who make me feel that way. But, like, yesterday was a throwaway day for me.
Okay. Like, tell me about that. What
does
that mean?
I just, like, I woke up and, you know, my mom was in Newport and I had to film later. So I had, like, a full day, and, you know, you had things that I needed to get done. But I was like, today is just, it ain't hitting.
Yeah.
I literally hot boxed my bathroom with sage. Oh, right.
Wait, what?
No, but I opened the door
and
looked back into the bathroom and it was just smoke. Because I have this huge, someone, I think it was like, someone sent me, oh, I know exactly what it was, at the book signing.
Someone gave it to you.
In October, someone gave me a huge bundle of sage. I mean, I can't even imagine what it cost them. It was so sweet.
Right.
But I burned that.
Okay.
I manifested. I prayed. I you know, did my whole thing with God and the universe that I so often do when I'm feeling like, okay, we're going down the fucking rabbit hole. We right. gotta pull ourselves together. And after I did that whole thing, you know, I lit my sage and I'm like, you know, saying my little prayer, manifesting whatever. And then I listened to Break My Soul by Beyonce on repeat and was just like holding my sage in my hand. Yes, motherfucker. No one is breaking me.
Yes.
Hell no. Because I so often preach, like, if our minds are strong enough to take us to a dark place, mm-hmm. they're certainly strong enough to get us out of that place. Now, however, I am by no means saying that people shouldn't be on medication if they're suffering from depression or anxiety. Like, science is incredible and you should go to a doctor, and I believe in therapists and all of these things. So I'm certainly not saying, like, all you have to do is talk yourself out of it.
Right.
That is not, let me repeat, that is not what I am saying.
Right.
But in those moments where you're going there, I think we should empower ourselves to say, we're not going here. Mm-hmm. I won't allow it. So I'm taking a moment to myself and I'm going to do what I need to do to connect with something or someone greater than me. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to put on Beyonce and I'm fucking taking on the rest of the day.
Right. I don't know what you meant by throwaway day, but I think those days are very important. Like, that's why I can on a Sunday tell Kyle, like, literally I'm waking up and I'm binge watching TV until mm-hmm. 5 p.m. I'll take a break and take Margo on a few walks. But, like, to me, that is just my version of mental health sometimes. And, like, those days are just as important as the days I wake up at, like, 4:30 a.m. And I'm like, I'm going to go to the gym. And then I'm going to get writing. And then I'm going to go to work. And then, those are just as important. So,
you know what, though? I think that in the world, like, in our society, in America, where we're, like, it's so instilled in us that hustle harder, wake yeah. up, work until the sun goes down, and then all you can sleep when you're dead, right. make that money. And it becomes, like, you go to other places, and mm-hmm. they have, like, two-hour lunch breaks, and then mm-hmm. it's time for a nap. Like, they really just enjoy life and take that as, like, I'm not productive. Mm-hmm. in what I need to get done if I'm not feeling centered and well-rested. Like, America is a different type of grind. And it's like, I can have a day that's a Saturday and feel no guilt, you know, just kicking it. But if you're taking me on a freaking, you know, Tuesday mm-hmm. and I'm like, it's a throwaway day, then I struggle with the guilt of, like, you should be hustling.
Right.
You should be making money. You should, you know, and it's yes. just because that's the world that we have been brought up in.
I know. And it's all over social media.
Everywhere.
And I don't think there's anything. I think there's few things that are more damaging than the quote unquote no days off mindset. And if that means, like, of work, working out, literally anything, I think that's could be one of the most damaging things, mm-hmm. mindsets.
Totally.
When, like, no rest, no days off. I think it's very damaging.
I
personally.
Think so too.
So I'm glad you took.
But even on social media,
yeah,
like, people are, you know, posting. It's like, oh, you're resting today by the pool. Well, yeah. I'm resting harder in the Amalfi Coast on a yacht. And it's
right.
like, what the fuck? I can't even rest without feeling, you know,
you're so
without
right.
feeling like someone's resting harder than me.
It's literally the summer of everyone in Europe. And I'm like, what do you do for a living? Because I'm like, friend from college, how are you spending your summers in Italy? What's going on?
You know, I was talking to Katie the other day and, you know, because season 4, it was like, I'm going to Italy on a modeling trip.
Yeah.
And I'm 5'6". And, you know, like, you know, and I had, like, it seemed like I was one of those girls who was always on, like, amazing vacations. But truth be told, I have never been on, like, a really extravagant vacation that I didn't pay for, like,
yeah.
with my ex. Of course, we went on really beautiful trips, but it wasn't like the Instagram, like, quote unquote models that you see now, like the influencers.
Yes.
And I was talking to Katie and I was like, you know, I said that I was just a fun bitch to be around and that's why they were inviting me, but I'm sure if I would have gone, maybe they would have expected me to bust it wide open.
You
or like
think?
Put it, I don't know.
You don't know.
You know, I still am. I'm, like, very, I mean, I'm aware, but, like, I'm naive when it comes to, like, what people expect from me.
Right.
Or like, I don't know when people are on drugs. I mean, I do now. But
yes.
But like, I just didn't surround myself with people like that.
Yeah.
So when someone was like, want to go to Italy, I was just like, fun.
We had a friend once who would always tell us whenever we got in those situations, she would go, no, this is a college friend. No grown man wants to be your friend. Like, because I had friends who would be like, but he's just so nice and he wants to take me to wherever. And she would always be like, no grown man wants to be your friend. Just remind yourself of that. And we're like, well, that's a good point.
I mean, like, yes. I mean,
that might not be true, but
it's few and far between that you're going to find the older rich man who's like, you know what? I enjoy your company.
Yeah.
Just come and hang out.
Yeah. You're like, no, no, no.
And if you find that person, good on you. You know, good for you.
Right.
Yeah.
Did you ever go to that Italy trip that you're talking about on season four?
No.
You didn't?
No, because I was slut shamed. Oh. And I just felt so bad that I was like, I'm going home to Utah instead. No. I need my mom.
Oh, no, so you didn't, after all of that, you didn't even go.
After all that skank shaming.
Oh, no.
Went back to the beehive state.
Damn. Damn.
No, but yeah, that was a throwback memory.
I know. That was a little tangent, but spoiler alert, some people love those. A lot of people love those when you go on tangents. Spoiler alert for next week. They want more Lala.
The podcast is Give Them Lala.
I know.
You know?
Yes. They so want it, all Lala. The people love Lala. And again, haven't been through them all. Excited to go through them all, the messages. But yeah, it's very much people, I think, what I've seen being like, we love it when you talk about ocean and all this stuff.
But can I tell you, Jess, it's still, even though I've been doing what I've been doing for a while, it's still perplexing to me.
Mm-hmm.
That people give a shit about me. Like, I constantly am like, why? And you know, on tour or with the podcast, I'm always obsessing over who's my guest? Who's my guest?
Yes.
And I forget, like, my people are coming to support me. Like, they don't care about
who
the guest is.
Sometimes
maybe they do. I don't know. I'm sure the guest is like the cherry on top. But I do still feel like this, like, bitch from Utah. Like, why do people give a damn about me?
I hear you, but you were exactly right when you said the guest is the cherry on top. I think a majority of the time, but like, you have to remember, you're the ice cream and the whipped cream.
Ooh, I'm loving all of these metaphors. The guest is that, like, the right word, metaphor?
I don't know. I should know.
Well, because in an interview, I kept using the word analogy, and I think it wasn't analogy. It was a metaphor.
What were you saying analogy about?
I was talking about my life as a puzzle, and then I considered myself butter. And my beef with Schwartz was a microwave. I don't fucking know. It made zero sense, but I just rolled with it. And I was like, I kept saying strange analogy. And then I'm like, I don't think that that's the right word. I think a metaphor is when you take something that's happening.
Yeah.
And use like a puzzle.
Yes.
Metaphor.
I think that's it too.
An analogy, I think, is me taking something I'm going through and then being like, Jess, it would be like you doing this.
I think so too. Yes.
Yeah, so I completely used the wrong word.
Well, now you're using it the right way.
It was in Us Weekly. And I read it and I was like, I have to stop reading. I sound like such an idiot.
It's confusing.
I didn't go to college.
And I did, and I still don't know, so.
There were so many times in school where, like, I knew I was a bad tester.
Yeah.
And so I'd roll up on my teacher and be like, here's the deal. I was a fucking hustler since day one. I'm like, can I instead write an 8-page paper on why I'm bad at test taking?
Would they let you?
Yes.
Stop.
Yes, there were a couple teachers that did let me. Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Mm-hmm. I also wrote a paper on why it was so hard for me to understand how to learn a ruler.
That is so funny.
I cannot grasp the ruler. See, still, right now.
How?
I'm like, it's got to be either to the inch or a half.
Like, no, that makes sense. Like, and 3/8, like having to be so. So then can you tell time on is it called an analog clock?
Can you tell time?
You can?
I can totally tell time.
Sometimes it's in between the time things.
Yeah, but that's easy because it's the fives and then in between they
Same.
Equal to ones.
Do you know how many I saw TikTok about them going up to Gen Z people or even like people in their 20s and saying, showing them a clock? Like 90% were like, I have no idea what that means. And okay. Cursive is a lost art. Okay, anyway.
I'm so good at cursive, by the way. Too. Because we had to.
We had to.
I also had to learn, what was the penmanship called?
Calligraphy?
Calligraphy. I had to learn how to do calligraphy in school. They were like, okay, have your moms take you to Fred Meyer. That was like the local little grocery store that had, you know,
the
arts
stuff.
And crafts, okay. Obviously. We're from Utah. Always an arts and crafts section. No matter where you go. And we had to get like calligraphy pens.
Do you know people pay like good money for those classes now? Like I was going to pay for, I didn't learn calligraphy.
What if you rolled up day one of your interview and I'd be like, you have to write everything in calligraphy. No phones, no Google Calendar, calligraphy only.
I would think that was so funny and hilarious that I would take that so seriously. I'd be like, yes, absolutely.
And you also have to wear my face on all your clothing. You have a uniform. You would have thought I was insane.
I would have laughed.
I'm wearing my face enough for the both of us.
Exactly.
Don't even worry about it. All right. So there's our tangent. There's the intro. I'm excited to have Audrina on. So stick with me, my little sexy muffins, because when we come back, we have like an OG of reality TV. You're welcome. We'll be right back.
I will do whatever it takes to keep the stress level as low as I possibly can in my life. And I'll tell you something that has really helped me lately, Factor. Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals are always fresh, never frozen. They get delivered right to my front door, and they're ready to eat in just 2 minutes. I've also become a big fan of their add-ons. Snacks, smoothies, Ocean loves the pancakes. I get those and the mango smoothies in every single Factor delivery because the mango smoothies are a fan favorite among Ocean and Easton. But Factor has you covered no matter how and what you're eating. Keto, calorie smart, protein plus, or vegan and veggie. The weekly menu has 35 options, including gourmet meals like filet mignon and shrimp. There's no prepping, cooking, or even cleaning up, which that part is the least amount of fun. You just heat it up, then eat it right out of the Factor packaging. So easy. You can customize your weekly meals to get as much or as little as you need. And you can also pause and reschedule deliveries. So head to factormeals.com/Lala50 and use code Lala50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code Lala50 at factormeals.com/Lala50 to get $50 off your first box plus 20% off the next box while your subscription is active.
So I have two game changers to share with you when it comes to upping your glam game. I am totally obsessed with Impress No Glue Manis and Impress Press-On False Eyelashes because I'm very into just easy right now, and anyone can do it. You are going to love them just as much as I do. Both require zero glue, so there is no damage to your natural nails and lashes. There's also no annoying dry time. And the best part, zero mess. One step and you're done. The lash style options are endless, and there are so many on-trend nails to choose from. Impress, No Glue Manis, and Press-On Falsies are the easiest and fastest way to upgrade your look in just minutes. The Press-On Falsies have a unique under-lash application for a totally seamless look and are made with an exclusive self-stick technology that keeps them secure for up to 24 hours. The Impress Manis have a patented super hold adhesive for up to 7 days secure hold. And that's perfect for all of you busy mamas out there who don't have a lot of time to spend on glam but want to look your best. I completely get it. Impress No Glue Manis and Impress No Glue Press-On Falsies are absolutely a beauty must. You need to try them right now. So get yours today at impressbeauty.com/Lala. And use code Lala at checkout for 25% off Impress Manicure and Press-On Falsies. That's impressbeauty.com/Lala and use code Lala at checkout for 25% off.
We are back and I am so excited about this guest. You guys know her, obviously. Her name is Audrina Patridge. Hello, my love.
Hello. I'm so happy to be on your podcast.
I'm so happy to have you on my podcast. You're like the OG of reality television.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like before I even started reality, I didn't really know what to compare it to aside from like the Jessica Simpson and Nick Lachey show. But that,
right?
I think that was it at the time.
Yeah, the reality TV world, you know, I just remember like growing up and having the Real World.
Real World, that's right.
But your show was like where you don't all live in one house together. And it was just, I'm sure, very strange for you to have cameras on you following your every move at the age of what? You were 19?
Almost 19 when I started.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Like barely 19. And we filmed a full year before the producers kind of decided, I guess, like how we all fit in with each other and what they wanted to show, because we were all kind of getting used to the cameras. I know Lauren and Heidi had experience, but Whitney and I did not. So we were trying to figure out how we all fit in.
Right. How to, like, what your place is, what your role is. It's so funny because I was having a conversation with someone. Oh, it was Jeff Lewis yesterday. He was on a reality TV show. There's so many people who have such strong personalities, and the second you throw them into like a reality TV space, they freeze up.
Yeah.
Did you find that happen to you?
I think I did in the beginning, because I was going on auditions for modeling and doing little acting things and got gigs here and there for music videos and commercials and stuff. But the whole reality side of it, like there's three cameras around you. You have all these people staring at you while you're trying to go on a date. And you're like, going on a date for the first time is bad enough. And then you add all of it, all these other layers. It was tough. You freeze up.
That part scares me because I have yet to like do a date on camera, like a new date, you know, because cameras always want to capture the first date because it's awkward. And then you add the cameras.
It is really awkward, but I feel like we at this point, you know, we're kind of seasoned.
Right.
And I feel like all these new guys, I remember they would totally freeze up. And it's like, you can't really get to know someone with all these cameras, but then you get the alcohol flowing. And sometimes that loosens them up or takes the edge off. But really, it's a whole different world. People have no idea until they're thrown in front of a camera.
Oh, absolutely. And you can't explain it to people. I can watch reality TV as a viewer, but also because I've been a part of it. At the end of the day, like, you know, moments that I've had where I'm mortified, I have to step into that viewer perspective and go, but you made great TV.
Well, that's the thing too. Even with the last season of The Hills that we just did, I respect the entertainment value side of things. So whenever you need to kind of improv a scene to make it more dramatic or more interesting because it's too boring, you step it up and you kind of have to. And that's why sometimes the producers would step in and they're like, Adrena, like you're at a 3, take it to a 10. I need tears, or I need this, or go in there and say this and stir the pot. It's like, okay, let's do it.
Right. Because even though it is a reality, like it is real life.
Yeah.
It is a produced show because it's for entertainment. So you definitely do have those moments of a producer stepping in and being like, what are we doing?
Yeah. Like, this is boring. No one's going to want to watch this. You guys, step it up.
So I'm intrigued by you because, you know, reality TV, obviously now a lot of people say that it's like oversaturated. Like everyone and their dog can get a show based on their life. Do I agree with that? Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Not every reality show is iconic.
No.
You are from an iconic reality television show and you have managed to make yourself a household name. Is that strange for you?
You know, I feel like it was in the beginning because it was so surreal and I had these girls coming up to me, giving me hugs and crying and shaking and I'm just staring at me. And I was like, I'm a human, like, hi, I'm normal too. It's just because I'm on TV. But then I would also have older women that would watch it and come up and give me advice, like I was their granddaughter or their niece or something about Justin. And I'm like, all right, first off, you don't know everything, but thank you. I appreciate your advice. You know, it was so crazy. It's so weird.
It is crazy. And then, but you almost have to be grateful for those people because they're the loyal fans who are watching every single episode, every time you come out with a product or like you have your book coming out. By the way, congratulations.
Thank you.
That is not easy. Did you enjoy the writing process?
Well, it was probably a year and a half. It was hard. There was days where, you know, I would get on the phone with the ghostwriter, Jen, who was amazing. She was almost like a therapist. And I would break down crying. I'm like, I don't think I could go. I blocked so much of my life out and I just want to move forward. Like, I never thought I'd have to go back and dig and like bring those emotions back to the surface. So that for me was very therapeutic. It was healing in a way because now I can read it and I'm okay to talk about it. I'm beyond that point now where it's like, I'm finally in a good place.
How did you come up with the title of your book? Because me, I was sitting there racking my brain and then it was just Give Them Lala, like everything else.
Yeah, I know. I need to read your book too. I did not have a name. We kind of started, basically my book, I really wanted to emphasize everybody has the power to choose. When you wake up, you have a choice, whether you want to have a good day, a bad day. The decisions you make in your life lead to certain consequences that, you know, you just have to deal with that time. So a big part of the book and what I wanted to make a point of was the power to choose. So because I kept talking about that so much and the choices I made in my life that led me to all these different paths and, you know, the choices I could have made, but I took this direction instead, we were all talking about it. And it's like, they said, Adrena, you're talking about your choices so much and where you've gone in your life. And we were like, well, choices, and then to the hills and back again.
It's an amazing title.
Thank you.
I know that you have had rough patches in your life, one of which was obviously your marriage, because I'm kind of in that zone too. And I start thinking about my choices and then I look at my daughter, which you have a daughter, and I'm like, this is why I made like the universe had me make all of these choices to lead me to this person right here.
Exactly.
Do you believe that?
I completely believe that, because if I didn't meet my ex-husband and go through what I did, I went through a lot off and on for a long time, but it was all for my daughter because she was meant to be here. And I love her so much. I'm sure you get it too. It's like,
of course,
it's like a whole new love that you never knew that you could love someone so much. And at the end of the day, it's like, yeah, it was all worth it because I have her and now we're good and she's happy and I made the right decision leaving and I'm happy with my choices.
We're back to choices. And how old is your daughter and what's her name?
Her name's Kira. She'll be 6 in June.
That is such a fun age.
Yes, I love it. Every year it gets so much more fun and they become their own little people and their personality and their all the different characteristics they have and just like their outlook on life. You know, the other day she asked me a lot of questions about food. So, you know, if we're making a ham sandwich, she's like, well, what meat is that from a hamster? And I'm like, no, we're not eating hamster. It's from a pig. And she's like, well, why isn't it called a pig sandwich? You know, like all these little thoughts.
And they're very valid too.
Yeah.
Questions we should all be asking. How did you go through? So I remember going through doing my book and they were like, send the chapters and the breakdown of each one. And I'm like, oh my God, how do I do that? When you went through how many chapters you were going to put in and which one, like what stories each chapter would consist of, was there a lot of stuff that you were like, this isn't going to make the cut? Like this may be important to me, but it may not resonate with a reader?
Yeah, we went through so many things and we took so much out and added different things and took chapters out, especially after doing audio and reading it out loud, it changes everything. So we even had to change some things around in there because it just didn't sound right reading it out loud.
Right.
So crazy. Did you do that too?
Yes. In fact, so you mentioned your ghostwriter and I said this on tour. I spoke about a ghostwriter and the tour manager was like, they were not understanding what that meant. So I just want to put this out there for our listeners. Adrena has a book. I have a book. Many people have a book. The reason for the ghostwriter is Adrena wrote her book. I wrote mine, but we are not writers. I don't know how to format a book for the life of me. Okay.
Exactly.
So that's where the ghostwriter steps in. They format your book. They make it a book, which you and I obviously don't do for a living.
Oh, I did not go to school to learn that.
Right. So it's all of what we wrote and then they formatted it. So there's like the writing for dummies, which yeah. I took the crash course.
Yeah, the chapters, like you were saying. But there was a lot of stuff too where I didn't necessarily want to indulge about. Like, I didn't want to.
Right.
I was like, I'd rather be more vague about this. I don't want to go there. And she's like, Audrina, because they do their research and they're like, this is what's out there. Because for a lot of the times in the past in the media, I bit my tongue all the time. Mm. I never really stuck up for myself or cleared my name or said the truth. I was like, whatever, like the people that matter know the truth. If they want to think that,
right,
I don't care. You know, I think it was also from being on reality TV so long, you just start not caring because nobody's really ever going to know the truth. Or if they do, they might not believe you. But in this sense, this was my opportunity to clear the air on what's been out there and the truth.
That's so interesting that during the writing process, you were like, I don't want to dive into this. And someone had to tell you, like, this is your moment. Because I actually had the opposite feeling. I was, this is my one chance to really, now looking back, a lot of the shit that I wrote about, I probably would not have written about. But I think I maybe overshared.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, but then I'm sure your fans loved that, you know, they probably ate that up and wanted more.
I think they do. Just like, I think when your book comes out, which is the end of July,
yep,
people are finally going to get an unedited version of you.
Yes.
And that's what people crave.
Yeah. And I was like, okay, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to be open. I'm going to be vulnerable. Here's my perspective. I'm not writing this book to put anyone down. It's not about talking about other people and what they went through or what I thought of them. This is about me and the choices I made and why and where it led me. And especially with my marriage and what happened, there was a lot of gossip and rumors. And, you know, TMZ would get all the information from the court before I even knew what was happening. And it was spread all over. So on top of that, I'm sure, like, you get it. Like, it's already hard enough going through what you're going through. And to add on top of that, like everybody's judgment and the media and the blogs and the press and just like putting their two cents in when they only know like a fourth of what really went on.
Absolutely. And they pick up the one thing that is the smallest part of everything, but makes the most incredible headline. And that is so frustrating.
Yeah. So with this book, it's nice to be able to clear that up and set the record straight.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
I get a lot of questions about, are you worried about what your daughter will read? Do you worry about that?
That was something that was, it's always on my mind now. And even with The Hills, you know, I was, gosh, 18, 19, all in my 20s. I had no responsibilities. I didn't care. We went out every night. The last thing you think of when you're 20, 21, 22 is what my kids are going to think of me one day, or where is this show going to lead, you know?
Right.
But yeah, writing the book, I did have Kira in mind. And the thing is, all she has to do when she's older is Google my name, and she's going to see a lot of random stuff that's not true. She's going to see some stuff that is true. It's no secret that I was in a toxic relationship, and it's all out there. So it's not a secret. But at the same time, And I'm very honest with her when she asks me questions and only giving her enough information for her age and what she can handle. At the end of my book, I did write her a letter, and a lot of it is about her and like being a strong woman and being okay to walk away from a toxic situation and not forcing yourself to stay in it because you're a people pleaser or you want to try to make things work just because it's like you have to do what's best for your child and for yourself too.
So Kira, you said that they develop their little personalities, right?
Oh yeah.
But I think they come exactly how, like, they are who they are the second they pop out of your cookie or however they come to the planet, right?
Yes.
Ocean, I'm like, I will do my best to teach her things, but that little girl will look me dead in my eyes when I tell her not to do something. And the look is like, go fuck yourself.
I mean, they definitely come out with a personality. It's just as they learn more words and know how to express their feelings and their thoughts, that's when it like, things come out of their mouth and you're like, what did you just say?
Right.
Did you really say that?
It really is. I said this over and over again when I was in Utah because I was just like in it being a mom. I wasn't working because I was visiting family. And I was like, I just love being a mom.
Yeah.
Like, it's just the best.
I know. Do you want another?
Yes, I want another. I don't know how that baby, the next baby will get here, but that's the plan.
I'm in the same boat. So we'll see. I do want another one or two, but we'll see. We got to meet the right guy, you know?
Or like, I don't need a guy at all.
True.
Send me to the nearest sperm bank.
Yeah. Just get a book and you get to like choose.
Yes.
Who you want to have that baby with, I guess.
Shopping for a baby daddy. That sounds awesome. And then I don't have to deal with them after. Even better. True. What is your dating life like right now?
Honestly, when I was on the show, I went on that date with Sean Stewart, which was for the show. That was only with cameras. But I haven't went on like a real date in a long time, probably 3 years since 2019.
And what's the reasoning for that? Are you not ready?
I wasn't ready. I've went through so much healing and with Kira and just going through so much personally that it wasn't in a headspace to give myself or my mind or attention to someone else. It wouldn't be fair for someone. But I mean, I have went out and I have flirted and met guys, but like I haven't actually went on like a proper date or been in a relationship.
Okay.
But now I'm ready. Like I'm finally at a good, peaceful place right now where I'm finally open to it and I'm ready.
I think you're very smart. I'm in that zone and I'm obviously very fresh into this like new single mom life. And I'm very passionate about the topic of single mothers. So you're doing a great job. Let me just tell you that. But I feel the same way. And I said, I don't have anything to give someone right now. And I said this on tour and everyone was like, you have so much to give. I was like, no, bitches. I fucking know that. But
yeah.
If I have extra time and energy, I want to place it into my daughter or my existing relationships, not on someone new.
Exactly. And that's what I would always say. You know, I had so many friends like, you have to go meet this guy. And I'd be like, they'd send me their picture and tell me about him. And I was like, you know what? Like, why am I going to have to get a babysitter, leave her to go on this date where I know it's not going to go anywhere for what? A free dinner? I can make myself food. I could take myself out. Right. Like, I don't care. It's fine.
No, your outlook is like exactly like mine. But when you're in my area or I'm in yours, like we should go have a girls' night that's easy.
Yes.
I love girl time. So if you're still open to girl time, even though you're ready to date, I would love to take you out on a date.
Let's go on a date. I would love that. See, that's like fun and making genuine like good friends that, because I kind of have an idea what you're going through and I've been through it. So it's hard, you know, and it's hard being a single mom, especially when you do start dating. It's like, this is all new that I'm learning now. Like, when do you introduce your child to this person? Or like, you know, there's so many things that run through my mind now where I'm like, okay, I have to really like weed out all the guys, whoever I'm going to date, like they have to be very special before I even introduce them to my daughter.
Oh, absolutely. It's like the stakes are so much higher now and you're going to think I'm a whack job, but I actually brought on a PI who I literally, if I am even just talking, even though I'm not ready to date exclusively, if I'm just welcoming a person into like my atmosphere, I run a background check.
That's smart. Because I don't, if you're going to bring someone new that you don't know anything about, you want to know who's around your child. Can you trust them?
Right.
And that's the thing from being on reality TV too. It's like your circle grows, becomes so small. And then you do develop trust issues because at certain times you're like, well, do you really want to be my friend? Or like, there's so many blurred lines. And even dating on the old hills, you know, it's like, I would get guys that were hot and they'd be like, let's just date on your show. And I was like, well, you're good looking, I'll go on a date with you. So it becomes like, okay, you want to use me, I'll use you. Like, come on the show, we'll go on a date. And then that's the end of it.
Well, and I think dating in LA is hard enough as it is, even without cameras being on you.
Yeah.
But I like that you developed that, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. It's like, well, then I'll just parade your fine ass on TV like a show pony.
See, it works for TV too.
You did bring a lot of hot men around, I will say.
Thank you. Yeah, I tried. Yeah, there was one in particular. I remember it was like, I brought a lot of models on, male models, like supermodels. They were very good looking, but their intelligence level or
right.
We didn't have a lot in common or any, I don't know.
See, I have to have substance. I got to be able to go deep with you. I need to be able to talk about the universe. Even if you don't agree with what I'm saying, like I have to be able to like, I can't stay surface with anybody.
Yeah, like get deep, debate, like find out why you believe in these things, because I'm open to hearing other people's perspective. You know, I'm not judgmental and I'm not closed off, but it's interesting to like, to be able to go back and forth and talk.
Absolutely. I have to ask you about Justin Bobby. Where is he in the world these days? Do you even know?
Justin. He lives down here in Orange County.
Are you still friends?
Yeah.
I love that.
He had a show, I think it was either at the end of last year, I don't know, like maybe 6 months ago in Huntington. So I went to a show and then it was his 40th in March. And I think he went to Vegas with all the guys and then he was going to go to Tulum. We talked a little bit after that and then I haven't heard from him in the last couple months.
Was that a toxic relationship or do you think you guys were just young and trying to figure out like where you wanted to be in life?
I think at that point, we were just young, trying to figure out our life and dating. And I met him before the hills, like I brought him onto it. So we had a relationship before. And then once he was on the show, it totally changed our dynamic and kind of changed everything. And then once he was on it, I couldn't get him off of it. There's no getting Justin out of my life. So we both accepted it and we're friends now forever.
But it'll never evolve into something more now that you're both older and wiser.
We've talked about it. I don't know. You know, I feel like I'll always have love for him and he always checks in on me and Kira. And if he's around or I'm down in Huntington or Newport, like, you know, we might meet up, but Justin's a mysterious man. He is a nomad. He's a gypsy and he just loves not having any responsibility, not answering to anyone and just doing whatever he wants. He pops in and out of my life.
Right. He's a popper. I will say, take all of that out of it. You guys would make gorgeous babies.
Aw, thank you.
But you would make gorgeous babies with anybody. I mean, look at you.
Oh my goodness.
I had the best time having you on my podcast.
I know. Let's grab lunch or dinner.
I would love it. Please.
Yes, let's do it.
Congratulations on all of your success. And it was such an honor to have you on my podcast. You're a fucking icon.
Thank you. So are you.
Thank you, babe. Have the best day.
Bye.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.